Well, we have reached the end of a three-part sermon series on the prodigal son. If you've been with us over the past 3 weeks, you know that we've read the same story again and again and again, Jesus' most beloved parable. And yet each week we've read it from a slightly different angle. First week we talked about the story from the perspective of the younger brother, the prodigal who wandered away. The next week we talked about it from the perspective of the older brother, the one who stayed home. And this week we come to the main character of the story. We're talking about it through the perspective of the father. Indeed, many have labeled this parable actually the parable of the loving father. He, after all, is the main character throughout the entire scripture. Now, if you look at the front of your cover, you'll see that there is a picture here by Rembrandt. It's called The Return of the Prodigal. And there you can see the father embracing his younger son. He's older, wearing a red robe, and Rembrandt intentionally painted him with a sense of staticness, a sense where he's almost frozen in time. He wanted to show that whatever blessing this was, whatever he was offering his son, it wasn't something that happened in a moment. It was something that would continue into eternity. It was an eternal blessing he was giving him. Indeed, he is a loving father. And we're going to talk about him, but before we do, will you join with me in a word of prayer? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are a potter, and we are your clay. Amen. Well, in the spring of 1857, the great British poet Elizabeth Browning received a letter in the mail regretting to inform her that her father had passed away after many years of declining health. Now, Elizabeth had had a strained relationship with her father throughout the years. He was, after all, a tyrannical man. He was a man who had difficulty expressing any type of emotion or affection for his children. Their relationship was so bad, in fact, that when Elizabeth married Robert Browning, they did so in secret because their father simply refused to bless the marriage. She got married. She moved away to Italy. She fled as far as she could away from her parents. Despite all the distance, the physical and the emotional distance between Elizabeth and her father, she never gave up on him. She continued to reach out to her father. Every week, she would write him a letter, trying to offer some sort of healing to the relationship, some kind of reconciliation. But of course, Elizabeth Browning never received anything in return, not a single letter in return. That is, until she died. Because it was at that point that she received a large box in the mail. She opened the box to find that there were hundreds of letters inside. They were the letters she had sent him. All of them were unopened. He had received all the letters, but he never read any of them. At some point along the way, he had just given up on their relationship. He gave up. Fortunately, that can happen sometimes in families. There can be a rift in a family, and after a while, that rift becomes impossible to bridge. I remember several years ago now in my former church, I had a 16-year-old come into my office with a backpack on his back and a desperate look on his face, and he asked me to buy him a train ticket to anywhere. Said it didn't matter. I asked him if he wanted me to help him to go home again. I said, whatever it is you're running from, whatever it is you're afraid of, I'm sure it's not that bad. There has to be someone back at home who still loves you, who can help. There has to be someone you can go back to. But he said no. He said, they've all given up on me. My parents, my friends, they've all given up. The author Alexander Pope once wrote, "Hope springs eternal." But sometimes it can be hard to be hopeful. And sometimes after a while, you meet enough resistance, enough disappointment, the relationship becomes strained enough that after a while, you just can't help but give up. You don't plan to do it. You don't set out thinking that you're going to give up hope, but one day you wake up and you realize that you stop believing things will ever change. Sometimes you just give up. And so Jesus said, once upon a time, there was a man who had two sons. The younger son was rash and reckless. The older son was arrogant and sanctimonious. The younger son wasted all of his money on fast women and slow horses. The older son lorded his power and position over others. Neither of the boys, younger or older, neither of them respected their father, and neither of them showed him honor. Instead, both of them withdrew from their father. They kept their distance from their father. They found ways to hurt their father, the very person who had given them life. Children can do that after all. They can be the ones who cause you the greatest pains. So I remember a man said to me once, David, do you know why God must have asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac when Isaac was 12 years old? He said it's because if Abraham had waited until Isaac was a teenager, it would not have been a sacrifice. I laughed, but the man didn't. Instead, he said it with a sense of sadness in his eyes. He said it as someone who had been there before. He spoke as a father who knew that reality for far too long. There once was a man who had two sons, and both his sons caused his heart to break. Both of them disappointed him. Both of them hurt him. Now, if anyone out there was entitled to lose a little bit of hope in their family, lose a little bit of hope in their future, it was this father. Half his fortune was gone, and the people he loved most had withdrawn from his life. Most fathers would have given up at that point. You can only receive so much bad news before you yourself become cynical. Most fathers would have gone ahead and mourned the loss of their sons even before his son has taken their final breaths. Most fathers would have just let go because hanging on would have been far too difficult. Then again, Jesus says that this story is not about most fathers. Instead, he said it's about a loving father. He said it's about a father who refused to give up hope. No matter how many times the father had been disappointed, no matter how many times the father had had his heart broken, it was a story about someone who refused to stop believing in his children. It was a story of a loving father. There's a Presbyterian pastor by the name of P.C. Innes who tells a story of sitting at the breakfast table one Sunday morning. He was preparing to go to Sunday worship with his family, when suddenly, in the middle of breakfast, his 14-year-old son stood up and turned to the entire family and said, "I'm not doing it today. I am not going." Everyone was shocked, and Pastor Innes said, "What do you mean? What are you not doing?" He said, "Church." He said, "I'm done with it. I'm not going again." He said, "I don't want anything to do with that place. I don't want to pray. I don't want to sing. I don't even believe in God anymore," he said. "You can waste your life there all you want, but not me. I'm not going." The boy said, well, there was a silence that hung in the air just above the breakfast table for several seconds until finally Pastor Innes replied, "I'm sorry." Compassion in his eyes, he said to his son, "Son, I'm sorry that you feel that way. I'm sorry that you have stopped believing in God. But I want you to know this, son. God has not stopped believing in you. I want you to trust that God will never stop believing in you. There once was a man who had two sons. No matter what happened, that man refused to give up on either of them. He refused to let them go. And when he saw both of them again, he ran and he embraced them. To the younger son, he said, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. To the older one, he said, we had to celebrate. To the younger son, he said, let us eat and rejoice. And to the older one, he said, all that I have, it belongs to you. No, the father refused to give up. The father refused to stop believing in either of his sons. They might have lost faith in him, but he did not lose faith in either of them. It is a story of a loving father who continues to reach out and bless and believe and trust and hope and not give up. It is a story of a love that does not disappoint. Where can I go from your spirit, the psalmist writes? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. No, God refuses, simply refuses to give up on any of God's children. Even when we refuse to believe, God never stops believing in us. Instead, the story goes, God keeps waiting. God keeps watching. God keeps reaching out until one day we are welcomed home again. One day we are brought back into that family that we had never left. Now, what does something like this mean? What are the implications of that kind of a theological truth? Well, it means this. It means no matter how far you might have strayed or wandered, no matter how many times you have left home, just look up and you will find that you are not alone. It means that even when your life has plunged into darkness and your sins far outnumber your virtue, that God will always be there to shine the light of his grace upon your life, because there is no place you can hide from his spirit. There is no place that you can run from his love. Instead, the story goes, he is the loving father, the one who will continue to pursue you even until the ends of the earth. The father did not lose hope. You know, for the past 2 weeks, we've been collecting names of different prodigals, names of different older brothers you might have in your life. These are people that have wandered away, people that might have drifted, and we ask for the names because we know these people matter to you. And because they matter to you, they matter to God as well. And we wanted to be praying for these people, these situations. Now, when we originally came up with this idea to pray for the people in your life that have wandered, we thought, you know, maybe we'd get 20, 30, maybe 40 names that we could pray over for this month. And in the end, we got 411. 411 different prayer requests, 411 different stories, 411 different family dynamics that have caused heartbreak beyond imagination throughout the years, 411 different people, and God has not given up on any of them. Not Haley or Alan or Pauline or Joy or Wayne or Doug or Sandy or Paul or Denny or James or Nathan or Natalie or Daphne or Donald. God hasn't given up on them. He hasn't lost faith in them, and neither should you. Because the story goes, one day, God is going to bring all 411 home again. One way or another, God will surround those people with his grace, whether it's on this side of eternity or the next. I'm sorry, son, the father said. I'm sorry that you have stopped believing in God, but God has not stopped believing in you. He will never stop believing in you. So may God bless you. Eternally bless you with that same faith and love, that as you leave this place, you are a prisoner of hope. May God place his hand upon you, and may it never leave you. As you put your trust in the shepherd who searches for the lost sheep until it is found, as you place your trust in the woman who seeks the lost coin, and when she finds it, she throws a celebration, may you trust in the God who never, ever, ever gives up on one of his children. Because you see, once there was a man who had two sons, and he believed in them. He never stopped believing. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.